And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, it's not debatable. We are in the period of election, of actual voting. This is no longer the campaigning period. This is the voting period. As we speak, nearly 18 million Americans have already voted in the presidential election. And it's also not debatable because Trump refuses to debate. Although we have one more debate scheduled in the week coming up, it's not clear that Trump will agree to debate if he has to follow health and safety rules. So there's such a wealth of stuff that happened last weekend, such a wealth of stuff that's coming up. I don't know how we're going to get through it. We have the Supreme Court hearings. We have the actual voting going on. We have all kinds of stuff. Saturday, a huge women's march in Washington, together with marches by women's movement people in something like 70 cities in the country. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, you know, we keep talking about voting, and voting is the definition of democracy. That's what it means, is the people have the say in picking their leaders and who will be the ones that are chosen. And what we've had here is a subtext as to one group trying to stop people from voting or making voting harder, and another group who wants to get out as many votes as possible. And
by the way, the group that wants to stop the voting also wants to not count the votes that have been cast once they've gotten as many votes as they think they're going to get.
And that group is the group that for years and years and years wrapped itself in the flag, you know, motherhood, apple pie, and America, and then is doing the most un-American thing you can do. Of course, we're talking about the Republican Party, and it's really been their strategy over the last 50 years or so to suppress the Democratic vote.
Not the Democratic Party vote, the Democratic vote, period.
Yes, that's exactly right. Democratic vote, particularly the minorities, prevent minorities from voting, making it harder for people to vote, and to play all sorts of tricks. And they've been very successful at it. There was an article this week in the New Republic, which really reinforces what we've talked about now for several years, that America is being run by minority interests because of this ability to control who votes and how many votes are cast, with all sorts of things like gerrymandering. In the last 10 years, of course, when the Democrats fell asleep in the 2010 election and allowed all these Republican legislatures to take place, and those legislatures then immediately redrew the maps to ensure that they would preserve themselves no matter what.
Well, they have their own definition of democracy. You think that democracy is a system whereby people choose the people who represent them, choose their rulers. They think that democracy is a system by which those in power choose who can vote to put them in power.
Exactly. And they've made it into a heads we win, tails you lose situation, no matter what. And it's taken an enormous effort. And what we're seeing now is really this might be the last great push that people can overcome this in this election, both on a national and in a state-by-state basis. We're seeing it in Pennsylvania. We're seeing it all over the country. And as voter suppression becomes so painfully obvious, we talked about Texas, where they've said that there's only going to, where they allow early voting, but they're only going to set up one place in each county. So
and these are counties that are each as big as states in the rest of the country.
Yeah, right, Right. I mean, it's one thing to be in one of the counties out in the Great Plains where there's, 50,000 people. And it's another thing to be where Houston is, where you have millions of people and say only one place to vote, although people are voting. And what we're seeing is, let's give the people credit. We're seeing people come out and stay in line for 5, 7, 11 hours so that they can cast their vote. They're telling these politicians, you can put up barriers, but we're not going to allow that to prevent us. This is reminiscent of the voting rights marches in the 60s, where for years African-Americans couldn't vote, and they finally were given the right to register and vote, and they did in an organized manner. This is happening again. And it's good to see that the people are doing it. But
By the way, they weren't given the right. They forced themselves into the right.
Yeah. Well, they inherently had the right, but it was taken away from them.
Yeah.
That's what happened. But the Republicans are continuing to be the party of tricks. We saw in California, really, and there's no level to which they won't stoop, where they've actually set up their own ballot boxes and saying you can put your ballots in here, and they're not official. They have no right to do this. They're under a cease and desist order. And
by the way, there was a court order that said take them down, and the Republican Party in California's officials said we will not listen to the courts. We will keep them up. I thought this was the party of law and order.
Well, only when it applies to someone else. Again, the Democratic Party has to do something about it. The Democrats have the offices in California. Someone should be out there arresting these people.
Well, I think that they have taken, the Republicans were forced to take down most of those boxes, or they did take down most of those boxes.
Yeah. And whether it'll make a difference in a place like California, we don't know. In a place like Pennsylvania, it's going to make a difference because
wait a minute, before you get to Pennsylvania, the argument in California by the Republicans for these boxes was that vote harvesting, that is to say collecting the votes so they could be turned in, was an efficient way to promote democracy. But vote harvesting is precisely what Trump says is illegal and illegitimate and produces corruption. So what's going on here?
Well, it's the same thing. He's out there telling people mail-in ballots are bad, and on the other hand, he's telling his folks to mail in their ballots.
And he mails in his ballot.
He mails in his ballot.
Yeah.
So it's a mixed message, although vote harvesting is what happened in North Carolina.
Where it is clearly illegal.
Well, where it really gave rise to fraud because the person was collecting and filling in the ballots and
well, that's efficient. Now, look here. If efficiency is the question, that's efficient. I'll fill it in for you, and I'll deliver it for you. What could be more efficient?
That's it.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good promotion.
It is. So, but we're seeing that. But in Pennsylvania, we're seeing record numbers of people voting. This week, my entire family voted by we took our mail-in ballots, and we did not mail them back. We deliver them in person to the county, the ballot box. And it was very interesting because when we got to the county building, as we got out of the car, we were double parked, holding our ballots. The Democratic Party had a young man there, and he came out and he said, now, he didn't know whether we were Democrats or Republicans, except I guess he could see my wife's Biden pin on her and her Biden mask. Or my son had the Biden mask on, I can't remember. And he came over and said, now, did you make sure that you use the inner ballot, the secret ballot inside to put your ballots?
And the envelope,
The envelope, yeah. And did you make sure you signed the outside? And we showed him the outside. He said, fine, go in, go to the right. And we slipped it in. That's good. And it's also good that the Democrats have control of the county, that their people are running the election, making sure that it's a fair and honest election. Maryam Dallas in Lackawanna County is doing a superb job, unlike her counterpart in Luzerne County, which is where things have screwed up. We'll have to see. But and I was in Philadelphia.
So wait a minute, that's interesting. What you're saying is that in the Democratic Party run areas that you know about, early voting is being run in an honest and an efficient way. In Luzerne County, which is run by Republicans, That's where we have inefficient and fraudulent activity going on. But it's Luzerne County, the Republican-run county, that Trump points to prove that advanced voting is inherently corrupt.
Yeah, although the incident was way overplayed.
Even so, however, it was overplayed. But he's talking about an incident his party did.
Well, they have control of the county commission there. It's a council, and last year they won that. They won the majority by a vote. We'll have to see. I don't know which party the lady or the person who's running it is, but
they Luzerne run the county. If they didn't like who was there, they'd replace the person who was there.
Right.
A lot of counties in our state, in Pennsylvania, it doesn't really matter which party the incumbent office administrator holds. Many Democrats in my county would be very much at home in the Republican Party in terms of what they believe. And in terms of whose orders they follow. So you look at the person and you say, well, this person is a reliable member of this machine, no matter what party affiliation she or he claims to have.
Right.
It's just that, you know.
It's just that.
Yeah.
But where we do think the vote in Pennsylvania is going to be decided is in the Philly area, in the suburbs, and in Pittsburgh. How many Democrats come out. And I had occasion last weekend to be down that way. And I saw some things that I had never really seen before. As we drove down towards the Lehigh Valley, that's an area where you see a lot of evangelicals putting billboards up for religious conversion or you know, religious thought. And instead I saw Biden billboards up there talking about decency and character, trying to really.
But you're not suggesting that it was the evangelical groups that put up those Biden signs.
No. I think that what they were doing was playing to that evangelical vote and reminding them as to whether or not they're going to be true to their beliefs or were going to be hypocrites about it. And just the idea that the Biden people think that they can go after that vote, it was something. When we got to Philadelphia, it was incredible. I was down in just south of Center City, area that used to be a lot of the Italian market area and things like that. And you could just feel the energy, huge amount of posters on street lamps and things saying vote. And make a plan. In other words, telling people how to vote early, and how to fill out their ballots. It just seemed to be a lot of energy down that way. And coming out of Philadelphia, on the expressway, along the side of the expressway, where I don't even know how people got to put the lawn signs there, but you saw things that said "Traitor Trump" on there, and even a. Trump is trying to go around and saying he's winning the battle of lawn signs, and he's doing that for a purpose. One is to give the appearance that he's a winner and to keep his party's or keep his people's spirits up. But also, I think if he loses the popular vote, he's going to yell fraud, because he's going to say, look at all my signs. I had all these wonderful signs up there. How could I possibly have lost? And, there are...
Yeah, just like he had the parade of boats.
Yes, the parade of boats. And, of course, then we have the battles of lawn signs. A couple of women were arrested in Blakely this week for stealing Trump signs. The cops caught them at 11:30 at night. But we've seen... last week we talked about, I think, that somebody shot up a few of the Biden signs in Susquehanna County.
Well, yes, I know somebody who had a Biden sign on her front lawn, has a Biden sign, which now has bullet holes in it.
Yeah. And we're seeing private people put up signs. Last time I remember there was a prominent sign on Interstate 81 put up by a family in favor of Trump. And now we're seeing signs put up by people and families along the road favoring Biden and attacking Trump. saying, you know, they have one picture of Trump's mouth and talking about chaos, you know, end the chaos in healthcare, end the chaos in this, and end the chaos in that. We're seeing things. People are engaged, and you're seeing it in the numbers of people who have are standing out to vote. Virginia had a huge early vote. Georgia, there's a big vote going on. Illinois, which is going to go Democratic, there's a big vote. And Texas and Georgia are going to be interesting because the Democrats are giving Republicans a run for their money in Senate races there. And we'll have to see how those things come out. The other thing is, you know, we talked about debates, and they're not, you know, there was no debate this week. There was dueling town halls because of the way Trump acted. But Trump hasn't done himself any good in this. And Frank Luntz had a focus group of independents. And what he said was the more Trump talked, the more people were turned off. The problem that the independents are having is that they're still not turned on to Biden, but they're, you know, you're just seeing things or hearing things like that. And Trump is starting to get more desperate on there in what he's doing. I don't know if there's going to be a third debate this week or whatever. The other thing was interesting is this week on the dueling town halls is Joe Biden, more people watched him than watched Donald Trump. That has to get under Trump's skin.
Yeah, you know, that'll get under his skin. That's right.
So yeah. we have that.
Well, you know, the Republican cabinet people, they are apparently decided that their time is up. And the New York Times reports that there is a push to continue deregulating where they can deregulate and passing rules that pollute the air and cut out workers' rights wherever they can, even to the point of ignoring the public comment periods, which are mandatory, which they're just ignoring, or other procedural matters which are in place to provide for public input into regulations, all of which they're ignoring because they don't have the time if they're going to get these rules set, which means that there's going to be a period of legal challenge for all of these rules. But in the meanwhile, they're lengthening the time that truckers can be allowed to drive on the road without rest. They're removing more regulations, protecting clean water and clean air. They're changing the rules as to when workers can be classified as independent contractors so they don't have to be paid overtime wages and so forth and so on.
Yeah, and if Trump loses, I think one of the great periods of concern is going to be that lame duck period. But don't forget also what the Republicans have tried to do is stack the courts. And even though it's apparent what the law says, these Republican judges may not follow what the law is. They'll find reasons to invalidate the law.
Well, that's true. We had a Republican judge appointed by Trump here in Pennsylvania who delivered a ruling a few weeks ago about an election matter. I won't get into what the election matter was, but the reason that he ruled in favor of the Republican position was that he referred to an 1890s doctrine making unions illegal, a doctrine which was wiped out in 1930 and which hasn't been enforced since the 1930s. He reverted to this 1890 ruling, and that's how he ruled. So these Republican judges can be expected to bring American laws back to the 1890s.
Yeah, they're trying very hard, and that's one reason that they're trying to get that Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court to impose this philosophy that, you know, to finally undo the New Deal in its entirety.
Yeah,
they're worried about the ACA being overturned. I mean, there are whole areas that they're talking about. That all of administrative law could be overturned. All the agencies could be basically rendered toothless that do anything.
Right, because these are all dependent upon the decisions from the New Deal period, from the 1930 period.
Right. And that's why they were talking about stare decisis and when you can overturn an opinion and things like that. And of course, she comes out with, she's got writings about originalism, which is a doctrine that nobody ever heard of until the 1980s. And
it's an original doctrine from the 1980s, right?
It's an original doctrine from the 1980s that basically says you can do whatever we want it to. It means whatever we want it to mean.
Yeah. It's an ahistorical concept. It says you should not pay attention to the social currents at the time. You should not pay attention to what the people who wrote the thing intended, what they meant to achieve, what the issues were that this memorializes. Just look at words and try to figure out what these words possibly could mean, regardless of what the historical circumstances that these words are supposed to reflect actually meant.
Well, and look at things from a 1780s perspective.
1780s landowner wealthy perspective, not 1780s white, slave white perspective.
Right. Perspective. And of course, but they never want to do the originalism, as you pointed out to me, about what the Republicans really pushed through post-Civil War.
The
13th, 14th, 15th Amendments. Yeah. That they never talk about.
No.
But the amendments
that Eric Foner points out rewrote the Constitution. He makes the point that the Constitution that was passed in the 1780s is a different document than the Constitution that resulted from the Civil War, which are summarized by the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. Very important debate, very important point of view.
It is.
Are you for the Civil War's results, or are you against the Civil War's result? That's what it comes down to.
And the South has been trying to overturn the Civil War ever since.
Yeah, ever since they lost the Civil War.
Ever since they lost the Civil War.
Yeah.
You know, states' rights, which was the euphemism for Jim Crow.
Right.
Things like that. No strong federal government in certain areas. Basic rights. You know, Roe versus Wade, that you don't have a real right to privacy. It's only up to the states to determine what a woman can do. And so in one state, a woman has a right. In another state, she doesn't have a right to control her own body, things like that.
The principal difference, Foner points out and others who write about this point out, between the two constitutions is that in the colonial period, the federal government was seen as the main enemy of freedom, as against the state governments. And this is because they had in mind the British monarchy.
Right.
In the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, the federal government changes its position completely. The states are now seen as, because the states were what protected slavery. So the states are now seen as the principal dangers to freedom. And the federal government becomes the protector of individual freedom.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, I've said, really, the 1960s changed things as well. And the opposition to the federal government, in my opinion, is based on two things. Number one is what we talked about, the indicia of slavery, where people forced for themselves to be given full rights of citizenship.
Right.
And that opposition to that still occur. We don't want blacks to have power. The other thing is in the business sector, and this is where we get the libertarians come in, the Koch brothers, where the administrative law seeks to protect people and rein in corporations from doing things to maximize profits at the expense of public safety or the public well-being. And what we see in these Supreme Court nominees and these other lower court nominees is they garner support on the social issue, the racial issue, to put judges in there who are going to decide things on this administrative law issue, and it's going to harm the entire populace. You know, you're going to allow pollution, and people are going to get sick, and people are going to die. We're going to do away with health care.
Well, you're going to outlaw public health. You're going to say that methods, and they are already saying this, but judge after judge appointed by the Trump people and these horrible politicians are already saying that methods for government regulation of public health are against freedom. So therefore, you shouldn't have regulations guaranteeing public health. But for the first 250 years in American history, one of the prime functions of government was to protect public health.
Yeah. Yeah. We had quarantines. It was one of the few methods that they had.
Yeah.
But they still had that those things. And the other thing, you know, we're having that battle, but we're having the battle on for individual states and the state legislatures. And the battle's heating up in Pennsylvania right now. The Republicans used to have near super majorities in both the state Senate and the state House, and that has been whittled away. And if this is a big enough wave election, they could lose both, although it's unlikely that they will lose both. But the state House could flip, although we have some, the Republicans are playing offense up in our area. There's three seats that have been pretty reliable Democratic for the years, and they're being challenged heavily. Bridget Kozarowski here where I live, and Jerry Mullery down in Luzerne County, and Mike Carroll, who has the border between Lackawanna and Luzerne County. We're going to see how those things have play out there. Interestingly,
well, the Democrats need 10 seats really to to capture the control of the House. They need four seats to capture control of the Pennsylvania Senate.
Net gains. And
net gains,
we'll
net gains, right.
And it's going to be a big effect because the budget of the Pennsylvania is over $5 billion short due to the COVID crisis. And even Republicans, my sources say, are talking about behind the scenes having to raise some taxes. And the question is what's going to be raised. But the big issue is going to be after this year, every state is going to have to reconfigure their legislatures based on the census.
Which they've stopped counting early.
Which they've stopped counting. That's going to the Supreme Court, too, is to, you know, that if you want textualism or originalism, the law is very clear. You count persons. It doesn't matter.
You only want textualism if you don't have to follow what you don't want to follow.
Right, right. But the Republicans are very ingenious in things. They, you know, on the state level, they're trying to impeach us, one of the Democratic Supreme Court justices, because he rules against them. It won't let them get away with these things. They tried to. I mentioned that they formed an election integrity commission that was going to try to usurp the popular vote and put in their own electors to the Electoral College. That fell apart this week, fortunately.
In Pennsylvania, right?
In Pennsylvania, but other states they're still going to try that. You know, those things are going to be interesting. The U.S. Senate, there's no race in Pennsylvania for that. But there are House races, and the Pennsylvania delegation, which was 13-5 Republican, even though the votes was almost identical, raw vote totals, the state Supreme Court came in, redid the districting, and it's now 9-9. It could become 10-8 Democratic this time, which would be an important thing when they count the votes.
You mean in terms of the settlement of who got elected president in case it's close and it goes to the House.
Right, right. And even despite that, what the new Senate is going to look like, right now the Republicans are playing defense in places they never thought they'd have to play defense. The Democrats seem to have a pretty solid chance of picking up at least four seats and maybe as many as seven. We're seeing huge numbers in fundraising, huge momentum towards the Democrats, but you know, as things get closer to election day, things always tend to tighten up.
All right. Well, our time today is tightened up. We're supposed to have another debate between Biden and who's the president? I forgot his name. This coming week, but I'm not sure we're going to have it. But we'll have something because we had a hell of a week this last week, and the tumult doesn't die down. So I'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place. This program is supported by Argosy Bookshop of New York City, 116 East 59th Street, just down the block from Bloomingdale's. Old and rare books, prints and maps, members of the International League of Antiquarian Booksellers, founding members of the Antiquarian Booksellers Association of America, members of the Appraisers Association of America, on the web at Argosy Books, ArgosyBooks.com. Check them out for books, autographs, maps, and prints.